The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this 10th day of October 2018. And during the break, Johnny in New York told my producer here that he had sent a donation in by mail to the network. I'm on the profanity police patrol here, and you've got to double up that donation now because you use capital S with a hit on my show. All right, here's the question from PJ. Could you ask Harley Schlanger to address the question of the British Security Services using Christopher Steele, not his real name, to conspire with the Clinton Foundation, the DNC to attack and destroy the Trump presidential campaign, funded with $400,000 from the Clinton Foundation and the full resources of MI6, and he puts a little comment here. He said, this has to be the worst attack on a friendly ally by the British Security Services ever.
Well, he's right. And Christopher Steele was the former Russia desk chief of MI6. As a result, but by the way, the Skripals were, or Sergei Skripal, the Russian spy who defected to Britain, who was supposedly poisoned, was one of the people who was under Christopher Steele's direction. Mm-hmm. Now, what's important about Steele is that he drafted a completely fraudulent dossier, and it was supported by the former head of MI6, Sir Richard Dearlove, who was also one of the people involved in the 2003 Iraq weapons of mass destruction dossier, which made Colin Powell made an ass of himself in front of the UN presenting that. So this is not the first time that the British have come up with fake material to try to control the US. Now, the important thing about Steele is that his was an operation that was set in motion in Britain that began with the GCHQ, which is the NSA of Britain. A man named Richard Hennigan, who was the head of GCHQ, in the early spring of 2016 came to Washington and met with John Brennan and told Brennan that they had been picking up suspicious signals of Russian cyber attacks into the United States. Brennan immediately convened a grouping with Clapper and others, and they then went to James Comey and said the FBI has to investigate this. Now, at the same time, Steele was drafting the dossier, and at the same time, you had a series of sting operations run by the British, one of which was a professor named Joseph Mifsud, who supposedly met George Papadopoulos, who was a minor figure in the Trump campaign. And Mifsud told him that there is dirt on Hillary in the hands of the Russians. And this became the most important evidence that existed with the FBI operation that the Russians did the hacking. Now, Papadopoulos later met with Stefan Halper, who's another FBI, CIA, British intelligence plant, who continued the discussion. All of this took place in Britain. Papadopoulos supposedly blabbed to the Australian High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, Alexander Downer, that he had this that the Russians had the documents on Hillary. Now, interestingly, Papadopoulos went on Fox. Papadopoulos pled guilty to lying to the FBI, and he was given a 14-day sentence. Now, Papadopoulos told Fox News before going to prison that none of these stories are true, that the British set him up, that they gave him the story, which they then fed to the Trump campaign and attributed it to these Russian sources, when in fact it was FBI MI6 sources who made up the story. Now, all of this is coming out. And the other thing on Steele, and I'll just get back to this because this is very important. When the FBI general counsel, James Baker, met with the Congress about 2 weeks ago, he told them about a meeting he had with Michael Sussman. Now, Sussman was a lawyer for Clinton and the Democratic National Committee. And Sussman handed Baker the Steele dossier. Baker then used it for the original FISA warrant on Carter Page. Now, what that shows is that the people who are defending the FBI and defending the Christopher Steele were lying, because they said the Steele dossier was not used in the FISA warrant. Well, the guy who drafted the FISA warrant said the Steele dossier was the only piece of evidence that was used. And this is what would come out if these documents are declassified. So this is very important. And you mentioned the Clinton Foundation. It was Hillary's campaign and the DNC that paid, and it wasn't $400,000, it was over $1.5 million, to Steele and to Fusion GPS, which was the company that hired Steele. Now, with Fusion GPS, you have one other connection. On the Fusion GPS staff was Nellie Orr, whose husband is Bruce Orr, who was at one point the number four man in the Justice Department. Once the FBI fired Christopher Steele, because he had been going around behind their backs to the press, Orr continued to meet with Steele to try to figure out how to use his dossier to get Trump. So all this shows, these are a lot of details, but they're all, you know, if people are interested, I have them in articles I've written. What they all show is that there was a British Justice Department, CIA, FBI plot to get rid of Trump. And it's all documented, and these documents have to be declassified.
Well, and there's one name that you do not hear mentioned in the press at all. It's like the man never existed. He was a Democrat, had to do with the 30-some thousand Hillary Clinton emails, and I don't buy it for a moment that this was just an attack, just a robbery. That was a one Seth Rich.
Yeah.
Gone from the headlines.
Well, and you know, the other person who you're not hearing too much about these days is Julian Assange. They're trying to basically get him thrown out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London and bring him to the United States and stick him in a hole somewhere.
And charge Assange, him and the interest that I made the point about this, Harley, and charge him with treason. Treason, yeah. Against whom? He's not an American citizen. How can the United States government charge Julian Assange with treason when he's an Australian?
And what's his crime? It's telling the truth, yep, about the workings of the deep state.
Yep. There was another guy. Mr. Snowden came out, and the world recoiled. The people in the United States and the politicians and the agencies start pooping themselves when Snowden came out and said, well, hey, the NSA is collecting your data. They know everything about you. Here's how they're doing it. This is what they're doing and how they're doing it. And, well, Mr. Snowden has pretty much disappeared from the radar as well. The people that have come out to expose this, I mean, deep, rotten corruption are the ones that they want to get. When I heard that they were willing to do this to Assange, and people remember, Julian Assange did this to himself. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative light, but the man had the courage to put this information out. He knew he was going to get heat. He's been a prisoner now for what, 8 years, Harley?
Yeah.
Self-imposed yeah. prison sentence because he told the truth. How many people, like Snowden? Snowden's never going to be able to come back into this country unless he gets a presidential pardon of sorts. Julian Assange doesn't want to step foot here. But if you look at the people that have made the greatest impact with peeling back the layers of this onion, people just, I mean, a contractor really for the NSA? Snowden? Here's a man that loved his job, loves his country, and he knew that he was going to get, it was going to be gone. His future was going to be gone. The motivation for him to come out and tell the American people what the hell the government's doing to you overrode any selfish motive or self-protectionism. These people put their keisters on the line, Harley.
Well, it's similar, Bill Binney, who is the leading expert in cyber warfare at the NSA, he was fired because he pointed out that the NSA was going for mass data collection when he had a system which was much more effective at tracking terrorists. And when he went public with it, they fired him. They threatened to put him in jail. He lost everything. And he nevertheless was the one who came out along with a group of people called the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, who demonstrated that there was no way the emails from the Democratic National Committee were hacked, that it was an inside job, that it was probably done on a USB stick. And that brings us back to what you brought up earlier with Seth Rich. Someone from the inside was the one who leaked the emails, mm-hmm. not a Russian fancy bear Guccifer II operation, which, you know, these things are probably creations of the NSA themselves.
And how I took Seth Rich, yeah, he was a Democrat. He was a lifelong dyed-in-the-wool blue guy, but he couldn't stand the stink. And I believe he tried to do something about it, and then they put three slugs in his back and call it a robbery.
Remember, this goes back to the original question of what were the Hillary emails about. Mm. They were about her illegal operations to shut down the Bernie Sanders campaign. And the whole Russiagate story was concocted and spun out there to, again, be this dog and pony show to keep people from focusing on what Hillary's campaign did to Bernie Sanders. Whether you like Bernie or not, he was anti-establishment, and the establishment went after him.
Well, I guess that's one way of putting it, anti-establishment. Bernie was a self-admitted socialist, and now he's calling for a new world order that promotes shared prosperity, and solidarity over state sovereignty. He's a globalist. He is preaching globalism. So he's a little bit more than that, Harley.
Well, in his campaign, though, he was running against Hillary and was effectively exposing her and defeating her. That was his crime.
And while she's trying to destroy Bernie Sanders, rather than her running a campaign, she thought she was a shoo-in. She thought her political influence and what she had in the bag was magically going to put the queen on the throne in Washington, D.C. And she's still not over it.
No, she and Bill just announced that after the midterms, they've been told to stay out of the limelight till after the midterms, but they're going to do a 30-city tour after November 6th. I don't know. I guess they're going to bring the same 8 or 10 people who came to her campaign rallies to come out and greet them.
Roxanne in Texas. Hello, Roxanne. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you?
Yep.
Hi. Three, four points. Congratulations to you and your missus, and that's wonderful news about your baby daughter. And
thank you.
I want to talk real briefly about Rosenstein's wife. Is that Lisa Barsoomian? Wasn't she the attorney for Clinton, Comey, Obama, Mueller, and Kathleen Sebelius? And she works for R. Craig Miller, or Lawrence, I should say. Right? That's point one.
Yes.
And you mentioned misfood, okay, but misfood is, you know, disfood, but you mentioned Downer, and Downer works for the Privy Council. He's on the Privy Council, right, over
yes,
in
exactly.
UK for the Queen. Well, before I hang up, maybe I can get, because I missed your email, but I have some flow charts that maybe you and I can look at together and see if we're on the same page. But do you know about QRS 11 and 14? That's the uninterruptible autopilot, that gyroscope. That's why Trumpets put Rosenstein on his plane, because for the last year and a half, they have been getting rid of the Chinese-made backdoor open intel, which is made in Israel, which is on all of our phones, which is on... But that's how he was able... Rosenstein has been asked, or was asking Trumpets five times now, can I resign? He said no. Trumpets will not let him resign. They have to just keep putting themselves out there, as, because you and I and RBN absolutely knows these people are frauds, criminals, should be hung at the highest levels. But anywho, I thank you, and if you'll just mention again how I can contact
you. Before you go, what was the Q what?
Which Q?
You said Q.
Oh, it's called the QRS 11 and the 14. 14. It's an uninterruptible autopilot. It's a gyroscope. Remember when all of these ships were crashing into each other?
Yeah.
And it was the Chinese, which the Clintons gave back when, and Obama.
Oh, so they had a backdoor to that system, and that was intentionally done. Okay, I got you.
Yes.
I got you.
Absolutely.
All right. In answer to your question, it's Harley, harleysch@gmail.com.
S-C-H.
And by the way, Roxanne, it's still a mystery to me. Harley, this is a lady that used to rub elbows with some of the slimiest people on this planet, driving them around. I'm still not thoroughly satisfied with Roxanne's answer. I think she was a little bit more involved than just doing the driving. But at any rate, there you go, Roxanne. There's his email.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm right about her. She's not tipping her hat as exactly who she was back in the day and what she was doing. But at any rate, Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Every time this woman would open up her mouth, I would just cringe.
Yeah.
War hawking more so than the yellow cake, you know, the sacrifice for the Malay massacre over there, guy. She was an embarrassment. And she somehow, the press picked up on, well, she told the president 6 months ago that she was going to quit after 2 years. I don't think that that was the case. What was your take on Nikki Haley?
Two things. You're right. She repeatedly contradicted Trump. And on a couple of occasions, Trump straightened her out. For example, when she said, I can't remember the exact terms, but it was on Syria. I think she said, we're going to be sending in more troops. And Trump said, no, we're not. But she started with Marco Rubio and then worked for Ted Cruz. She was anti-Trump, but she's highly ambitious. And I think she intended to use the position at the UN for future campaigns. Now, there are two thoughts on this. One is that she was tipped off that Mueller actually has something and is going to use it, and that combined with the midterm elections will knock Trump out, and then she'll be able to emerge as both a neocon, but also someone who had the Trump support. I don't think that's too likely. I think that there's something else going on there that has to do with U.S.-Russian relations, and that she's been messing them up. And as much as I don't like John Bolton, he actually has been meeting with Sergei Lavrov and other Russians. There's an open door now, a possible meeting coming up between Putin and Trump. And I think they wanted Haley out of there because she would screw the whole thing up.
Well, okay. Well, I'll leave that one lie.
I'm not defending Bolton.
No.
There was a fight between Bolton and Haley.
Yeah. Now, John Bolton, if you really take a hard look at John Bolton, he's neocon extraordinaire.
He's a Yosemite Sam neocon.
Yeah, with that nice little mustache. And he just looks like a frumpy old professor. That guy would never do any damage. No, of course he wouldn't. By the way, Netanyahu, I guess his wife is on trial for some kind of criminal financial wranglings. But Netanyahu admitted that they're launching airstrikes inside Syria.
Well, that's been they had to announce it because it's been pretty much common knowledge now. And I think this is, we're going to see some changes in Syria after the midterm elections. Trump has made clear, and I've been told this from several different sources, that he's made it clear he does not want the U.S. to stay in Syria. The deep state wants to stay there because of oil pipelines and other kinds of issues. And I think that this is why a Trump-Putin discussion is so important. What Putin worked out with Erdogan to avoid the, they actually outflanked the whole British operation of the false flag chemical weapons attack in Idlib by setting up this secure zone and not going in, so that you couldn't make a credible argument that the Syrian army was in there gassing people. So I think there's a lot more going on than we know, including dirty operations from the U.S. side continuing. And unless Trump can get that under control, this you could have an Israeli-Iranian strike. You could have a situation where Netanyahu gets the United States into a war with Iran.
Well, that would simply be plausible beyond belief because, you know what, the United States, we screwed with them, put the Ayatollah basically in power back in 1953. And, these wars, as far as I'm concerned, Harley, this was the elimination of seven countries over there. Just absolutely, just devastate them, bomb the hell out of them. The Israelis didn't care that the real estate was being hurt, the buildings and whatever, because they had this little plan for the greater Israel.
That's been the plan of the Netanyahu faction from the founding of the State of Israel.
Absolutely.
Netanyahu comes from the Jabotinskyites, who think that Israel goes from the Nile to the Euphrates.
And that still stands. So if the United States, we've been making these overtures, we've canceled agreements and treaties with them, and that was suspect to begin with, but we look at this. Russia in Syria, bad guys pretty much gone. Idlib, as far as I know, has been liberated. The little white helmets that were the guys supposedly humanitarians that were swearing
up. Ran them out of there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, ran them out. That they were the witnesses to these chemical attacks by this evil Assad on his own people. This thing has gone Assad's way. It has been torturous for 8 years. It's been bloody. It's been a damn mess. But he did not back down. He stood up. And he's on the verge of getting his country back. Now, this throws a real monkey wrench into Israel's plans here. Now, do I think they're not above getting the United States into a war with Iran, even if they have to initiate it? But what I'm starting to see from Trump, I saw a lot of bellicose statements being made, but I saw his earlier comments, I heard them, that he said that, look, we've got to make safe zones in Syria. We can't have all these Syrians being shipped all over the world. We need to make safe spaces over there. I believe the man wanted to get the hell out of Syria, But the deep state allies up there said, oh, no, that'll wreck our long-range plans. But I think, and what I'm rolling around here too, Harley, is I'm watching Donald Trump, and I am watching what he's doing. Not stated policy, as you pointed out, but I'm watching what the man is doing. And I think the bankers know it as well, the architects here of our global governance, so we could just all do happy business, no borders, and we can all sing kumbaya and share in the riches. I'm looking at Donald Trump, and I'm looking past the midterm elections. I think his attorney general is gone. I think old Rod Rosenstein is gone. And I'm going to make a
prediction. Mueller is gone, too.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a little prediction here, Harley. And I don't get into predicting. I'm not a savant. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't deal in the occult or tarot cards or any of that stuff. I'm just watching the man that came into that office with a plan. And he's been doing many of the things that he said he was going to do. Now, whether the banks want to put a grind to, it'd be a perfect time to do it right before midterm, because I think the Republicans are going to take total control of the House and the Senate. Bad for them, good for the Republicans, and it's up to us to weed out the unconstitutional rhinos and asshats that are still there. That's the political process. But I think what Donald J. Trump is going to do after he wins his second election, and he'll be, 74 at that time? Yeah. I think he's going to go after the one thing that this business guy knows that's rotten, and that's the banking system itself. I think he's going to go after the banks.
That's the key point, because Trump's made comments on that privately. He's met with the regional bankers a couple of times, but he also knows what Russia's doing. Russia's buying gold. China's buying gold. There's discussions going on about petro yuan, about moving into other currencies. And you know, Trump's view on this is that you don't have to defend the dollar if the dollar is a tool of the bankers. What you have to do is defend the U.S. as an industrial manufacturing economy. And if you do that, the dollar will take care of itself.
Well,
but he's not interested in collecting the debt for the bankrupt bankers.
Yeah. No, I got you there. Hey, look, it's almost 2:30 in the morning over there in Germany, and you've had a pretty exciting week here. I'm sure that you've been tasked with the little one from time to time. We're gonna let you get some sleep here. You don't have any more buns in the oven, so the next time you're due to come on, she's gonna have to run to the hospital, right?
Well, let's work that out. I'll send you an email. But if people want, I have an article that just came out on what's going on behind the scenes around the Rosenstein question. Again, write to me at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send it out.
Okay. Point and click before you go to bed. Send that article over to me as well, would you?
Okay, sure.
All righty. Harley, as always, I appreciate you being on, and we'll see you next time. We'll work out a schedule.
Okay, John.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I love having this guy on. I can't stump him. I can't bring up a subject that he doesn't know a loads more about than what I do. This is the kind of people I love to interview, where he makes the host ask a few halfway intelligent questions, and then the host shuts up, and then he talks. Well, what a concept. We're coming up on break, right, Mikey? Let me hold the calls here. And we'll take the bottom of the hour break. By the way, if I have a little bit of time here, you know that limousine driver that killed 24 people? Remember hearing that in the news, Mike, last week? Well, guess what? He was paid $96,000 to go undercover to expose terror plots after fleeing to the U.S. from Pakistan, where he was wanted for murder. Another one of these FBI assets that, I don't know. They just don't last too long, do they? That was his company. Not the driver, but that was his company. Wow. All right. We'll break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you. All right, we're back. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. I had a question for Harley, but I guess he is gone, so I'll just throw this out there. And I was going to come and ask about the city officials in places like Portland that are allowing Antifa and Black Lives Matter just to take over their streets, and they're pulling back the cops and everything. Mm-hmm. And right away you see where these city officials like the mayor, commissioners and all that, they're all violating their oath of office. They're aiding and abetting terroristic acts, breaching the public trust, and on and on. Yet you see no retribution. You see nothing from the state government or the feds to go in there and try to, you know, make some sense out of this, because I just did fail to see how they can stand back and let this happen to their streets.
Well, I don't know if it's so much letting it happen or allowing it to go according to plan, because a lot of these cities now, they've been given the idea that if you don't like what's going on at the federal level or even the state level, that, you know, you're your own corporation, you can make up your own rules, you've got your own city council, you know, so what do you need with anything else? This is more of decisions that are being made within the city governments themselves, not just an arbitrary decision from a police chief or, you know, what to do with the cops or what not to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I can see that. I just wondered, I was going to ask if he would have felt that it's also tied to this Global Cities Initiative where you have,
bingo,
again, these cities like them, San Francisco, and others, the sanctuary status and all that, just thumbing their nose at, federal oversight. And to me, if something's happened there, it just sure seems very odd that the feds are so silent. But even the state governments, I know in California it's a lost cause, but probably in Oregon too. But it just seems to me that there should be some overseer of the city governments on either the county or even, state level.
I think what you're probably seeing at state level out in California, at least, is they're dealing with a myriad of problems right now. Or, as you mentioned, Portland, Oregon. It almost was set up as a respite for the loonies and the lefties and the commies and the socialists. Isn't it Portland that has the statue of Lenin up there? It was, or Joe Stalin, I forget which. But you have these little pockets of the insanity that seem to go unnoticed, but I think state governments are pretty preoccupied right now with what the hell are we going to do tomorrow and next week. The pension funds, they're in the hole. We've got all kinds of problems, and I don't know if they're particularly paying attention or not. Maybe they are and just letting it go, but maybe not. I don't know, Wayne. It'd be speculation on my part, but there's at least a few plausible explanations.
Well, I just know that I would just think the citizens in general, the honest ones and the clear-thinking ones, would be screaming bloody murder to get these people turned around and get their heads
prepared. Well, and under normal circumstance, what the hell has been normal in this country for so long, but under quieter times, I think it would have been handled differently. I think you would have seen a bigger pushback. But again, what do we have out there creating the reality for people, their perceptions of what's actually going on? I mean, I was just glad to see a U.S. senator come out for once and saying, these Antifa people are paid by George Soros, for God's sakes. This isn't the spontaneous, oh my God, I'm afraid for my country, it's my government, and no. They've got to pay and bus people in. That's how much they're organized.
That's
how big of a threat that it is. And it's the perception of the American people. And this is what they're masters at. Aiding and abetting and lying and putting on the dog and pony show and saying, you're not buying that, we'll get a load of the next one we bring you. All right, Wayne, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Well, I don't know what to take next here. Biggest bubble in the history of mankind. Now, I said that the markets were down. The Dow Jones was down 831 points today, and they're crossing their fingers the markets don't open up negative tomorrow. Ron Paul, that used to be the Congress critter that was sitting on the banking committee in Washington, D.C., he's just come out and said the U.S. stock market will soon plunge by 50%. The recent jump in Treasury bond yields indicates that the U.S. is barreling towards a potential recession and market meltdown at an increasingly fast pace, according to former Republican Congressman Ron Paul. We're getting awfully close. I'd be surprised if you don't have everybody agreeing with what I'm saying next year sometime. Well, next year? Paul's remark came as a benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rallied to a 7-year high, intensifying fears over rising inflation. And he went on to say, he says, it can be pretty well validated by looking at monetary history that when you inflate the currency, distort the interest rates, and live beyond your means and spend too much, there has to be an adjustment. We have the biggest bubble in the history of mankind. Now, Paul predicted the February correction that we had. The former congressman acknowledged that his previous predictions of a downturn haven't yet come to pass the way he said, but it was just a matter of time based on the looseness of the U.S. monetary policy since the 2008 financial crisis. He says, I know it's going to happen. It will come, and the bubble is bigger than ever before. So, if you got some spare time tomorrow, just peek into the markets and see what happens with that. Again, let me emphasize what I had said earlier. The global government is the grand plan by the world banks. Things didn't go according to plan. Project for New American Century didn't get their mirror of the European Union. We didn't have Canada, United States, Mexico, Central, and parts of South America, and whoever else they could cram into that. We didn't have the counterpart to the European Union form. They were behind the times. It would have been much easier to have a globalist, dirty politician like Hillary Clinton in office, and God knows who, you could just about imagine who she would have in her cabinet and who she would appoint to very sensitive positions. But again, folks, I kept asking the question. Remember, I was doing this over a year ago. What's the banker's plan? Where's plan B? I think you're seeing plan B. Why jack up the interest rates right now, right before a midterm election? Let's cause a little bit more chaos, and let's start blaming Donald Trump. Now, the interesting thing about this is, and Ronald Reagan did the same damn thing, cut taxes. Now, it might not have been the biggest tax cut that middle class has ever seen. That's true. But here's the problem with cutting revenue to the government. They're still borrowing hand over fist. And in a stopwatch click of time here, you're going to have the interest just on the principal of the money that the United States government has borrowed, in yours and my name, by the way, you're going to see the interest payments exceed our bloated military budget. The revenues are down for the federal government, the Treasury. So now the banks move in. Well, I guess it's time that we just raise the interest rates now on loans. Now, this is after, and you heard Harley mention, we've talked about this before, about what the banks have done, buying up their own stock, protecting themselves, consolidating and eating up other financial institutions to consolidate their criminal activities. You know, it's better to have a room of four or five criminals than it is to have a whole smoky room full of them, too hard to contain, and there's just too much detail to try to keep a hold of. So you consolidate. But the government has not sought to reduce their spending, not one iota. And you'll hear again. Next time, we got to have money, so we got to raise the debt limit, as if there really is a limit to the amount of debt that the government can put us into. Here's the real problem underlying all of this stuff. Folks, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And to this day, 10 years, a decade after the fact, after the mortgage-backed securities where they were selling 20 and 30 times over true value and giving every mother and her uncle and a cockroach if they could sign a mortgage contract a house. They created that bubble, they exploited it, they extracted the riches, and we got the bill. The government had to keep borrowing about, well, the banks are too big to fail. No, the ones that were in on this takedown should have been brought up on charges, tried, and sent to jail for the criminals that they are. Oh, but John, be careful now. You know, the SEC was there, and they didn't see anything going on. Well, I saw the Glass-Steagall Act gutted for exactly what they did. They were allowed to do it. Did it make it legal? Hell no. How in the hell can you sell 30 times the value of a piece of property? How in any way, shape, or form is that somehow legal? It is not. The only thing they gave you was the illusion of no impropriety here, nothing to see, just move along. And we're stuck in this. And the government soon is going to be paying a trillion. Are you folks listening to me? They're going to be paying the banks $1 trillion interest on all the debt outstanding. $1 trillion a year. Now, what do you think they're going to do? How do you think the wonderful asshats in Washington, D.C. are going to handle this one? They're going to ignore it just as they always have. it's going to be status quo. You know, we've got to keep our military strong, and we've got to keep these programs going, and we got to We got to keep up the pretense that we're actually doing something for you, and we didn't set you up to be gutted like some pitiful little pig. $1 trillion a year in interest? Could you imagine? Just let's jump in the fanciful bag here for a moment. Could you imagine sitting around having dinner or a glass of wine with one of the founding fathers and come up with a scenario just as I spelled out for you? That the government one day would have to be paying the banks $1 trillion a year in interest? How do you think that conversation would go? I've been saying it for 26 years, and I'll say it again. Until such time as we get rid of these robber barons, this country is going to fall flat on its face, and it will not be able to pick itself back up. How many programs have you seen Ron Paul on? You don't even see him on Fox News anymore, do you? Oh, there's somebody that we don't put on the air and drag up past memories. This guy was on the banking committee, and God forbid somebody would ask him a question about the economy. And what do you think's really going on, Mr. Paul? They're scared to death of people like this. This is why they're not being brought on. Have you watched what has happened to Fox News? It's just a gaggle of people sitting around having political conversation. That's all that it is. Sitting there talking about somebody's opinion or public statement or tweet, and then we'll just talk about this nonsensical crap for an hour. Are you entertained yet? Did our infotainment have any effect on you? And let's just check. Why don't you give us an email or give us a tweet? What's your opinion about our opinion? And that's basically what it has come to. I'm going to be watching the markets very closely tomorrow morning. Because there have been a lot of people, folks, a lot of people predicting a market correction of maybe up to 50%, and this just may be it. And I know that it even sounds a little haywire to me that I notice a security guard in a bank that I've been going to for 10 years all of a sudden is there, and they have no reason why. Because I've asked each and every one of them. There's been about three or four different ones. Why are you here? Why did they say that you're here? Well, they didn't tell us anything. I've got this nasty feeling that the reason that security guard is there is to keep order in the bank. So when the markets go sideways and when they go, they're going to go hard. They're there to keep order in the bank. Because there's going to be some nervous over the counter, give me my money or I'm coming over the counter at you. What kind of people are going to be visiting the bank? I may be way off. Like I said, it's just this thing that just will not leave me alone. It's been haunting me for a week now. Bernie Sanders, I think we got time to play this. Skip the break. Uncle Bernie. You know what? Mike, run it from your side, will you? It will not come up on my computer. I'm sorry? Do we have the Jeopardy tune? Okay, never mind. You have it now. Go ahead and run that.
It is time for us to stand up and say there is a better way to use our wealth.
What wealth?
In closing, let me simply state that in order to effectively combat the forces of global oligarchy and authoritarianism, we need an international movement that mobilizes behind a vision of shared prosperity, security, and dignity for all people, and that addresses the massive global inequality that exists not only in wealth, but in political power. Such a movement must be willing to think creatively and boldly about the world that we would like to see. In other words, think big. What kind of world do you want to see? While the authoritarian axis is committed to tearing down a post-World War II global order that they see as limiting their access to power and wealth, it is not good enough for us to simply defend that order as it exists. We must look honestly at how that order has failed to deliver on many of its promises and how authoritarians have adeptly exploited those failures in order to build support for their agenda. We must take the opportunity to reconceptualize a global order based on human solidarity, based on the understanding that it's not me against you or the United States against China, but that we as a world, especially with the threat of climate change, are in it together. That in many ways we are going to survive by working together, or we're going to go down by the kinds of division that the authoritarians are trying to create. We need a new order that recognizes that every person on this planet shares a common humanity, that we all want our children to grow up healthy, to have a good education, to have decent jobs, to drink clean water, to breathe clean air, and to live in peace. Our job is to reach out to those in every corner of the world who share these values and who are fighting with us for a better world. Authoritarians seek power by promoting division and hatred. We will promote unity, inclusion, and love. In time of exploding wealth and technology, we have on this planet the potential to create a decent life for all people. Our job is to build on our common humanity and to do everything that we can to oppose all of the forces, whether unaccountable government power or unaccountable corporate power, who try to divide us up based on the color of our skin, the country we were born in, our religion, our sexual orientation, our gender, who try to divide us up in every way possible and to set us each against each other. We know that those forces are working today across national borders. We must do the same and create an international progressive community that stands for social, economic, racial, and religious justice for all. Thank you very much.
Institutionalized socialism, and it's not a big enough problem in this country. We need to unite and hold hands with other people of other countries that want the same thing. You know, it's rather fascinating that his political philosophy, much of what he mentioned about dignity and the old people, you know what? It used to be in this country, folks, that you worked. You got married, you had children, you bought a house, you paid for that. Raised your children the best that you could, and if you were lucky, you got to stick around to be grandma and grandpa. You had a retirement that was there, you could count on it being there. And all of this has been stripped away. And he's been part and parcel of the problem with his political philosophies. So now he's, you want to talk about a Hegelian dialectic. You know, starting the problem and then demonstrating how bad it is. And here's my solution. My solution is me. Bernie, you craggy old Muppet character fart you, please go away. I don't wish ill on Bernie Sanders, but it wouldn't hurt me if he had a serious illness and he had to drop out of humanity for the rest of his days. Folks, there may be up to 40-45% of the people in this country that are now thinking that socialism might be the way to go. In my book, that's a tipping point. In my book, that's the dissolution of a once proud republic. And the only thing that could derail that was the machinations of the globalists and their funny money systems. And of course, creating that system, live today, pay tomorrow, it's all about the interest. There've been a lot of people in there making money off of the non-money money that we have. The phony baloney money, the fiat currency, give it a name. I don't care what the hell you call it, but it sure as hell is not money. I'm going to be watching the markets tomorrow. I don't know. Mike, is this a good time to remind people that we have no money in the accounts and stuff is getting ready to get turned off? A lot of you folks out there continue to support us. Some of you have backed off. Please do not. Because I'm going to tell you what. Just the time that you're going to, when all hell starts breaking loose and you're going to need some safe spot that you can tune into, it ain't going to be there. You know, you can tune into the Five on Fox and listen to their opinion on what's going on in the world today. Or you can go over to MSNBC or CNN. And even the founder of CNN goes, you know, I think people should be a little bit more balanced. Gee, you think? I mean, if this guy says this, how far do you think they've gone? Well, the middle class erosion, 33 million Americans will not travel during the holidays because they can't afford to do so. That story is posted, I do believe, on our website, The Economic Collapse. If it is not, Mikey, I want to make sure that it's up there. Check your email. It is coming your way. Folks, do pay attention. Do pay attention to our website. Visit it. I know you got us cached there. You just hit a button to listen to the program. I get that. But go to republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at the stories that we have up and share them with your email tree. Folks, I'm serious. It's getting serious around here. We need support from you guys out there. We're doing our best to try to get any cash we can into this place. But if it is your decision that we go away, well, then that's going to be your decision. I thank you for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition. The National Intel Report. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.